throw balls far.
You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Paul Jones Drug Tuesday out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We can get into all kinds of stuff. NBA playoffs getting near the finals. Could even happen as soon as this evening that we know who will play in the NBA Finals. Celtics swept away the Pacers last night, 4-0. And so they await an opponent. Dallas leads Minnesota 3-0 in the Western Conference Finals. So we can talk about that. Bunch of college stuff going on right now. Obviously, the Women's College World Series will start in Oklahoma City on Thursday. We've got baseball regionals announced that we can talk about coming up this week. Probably like Thursday or Friday for that. A couple of hosting teams here in the state of Oklahoma. So there's that. College golf has reached the match play. We'll tell you how Oklahoma and Oklahoma State did in the college national tournament. And then what did you do for your Memorial Day weekend? That's kind of what I've got on tap on my mind. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things or whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside of the listening area, you can stay in touch with the show a couple of ways. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. The app has it all. It's got radio. It's got the Penny News. Big Elk and Paragon TV when the high school sports season is rolling. So tons of stuff there within the app. And, of course, the Skinny on Sports podcast. You can find us everywhere where you can locate different podcasts. How are you today, Jared?
Very good. How are you?
You know, it's one of those deals. I know that yesterday was Monday. I totally understand that today is Tuesday. But it my brain didn't comprehend it until I literally got on the air and thinking, oh yeah, it's a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. This is not Monday. So I'm sure that that door will be busting open. I had to go print some reports at some point here. That just now occurred to me that, oh yeah, this is not Monday. This is Tuesday. But anyhow, how was your Memorial Day weekend?
I was good. I'm anxious to hear how yours was. We need a full report of tellers, one, mm-hmm. and two, how'd the cooking go?
Oh, well. So we got Friday, got to Oklahoma City. Walked over from the hotel we were staying at. It was just like a block away from Teller's.
Yeah.
And so you go in this building, you go up this giant escalator, and this opens up into... here's something I did not know until we were eating on Friday night. My aunt worked in that bank.
Oh, wow.
For like a decade. And so I really wish she would have been there to tell us if that's how it always looked. I mean, it was really different. And there's a big bar in the middle called the Great Hall. So it's kind of a lot of things wrapped up into one spot. I know there's another steakhouse within that building.
Yeah.
That I think you stayed on the first floor to go to. Instead, we went up that escalator and then into Teller's, and it's like, it's hard to really kind of tell what's what until you kind of get your bearings about you and you realize, okay, like the divider was like the teller window. Like you can kind of get it.
Yeah.
One of the coolest, I mean, it's just this, it's a just a massive room, you know, and it's, oh gosh, I couldn't even tell you how high the ceiling is. It's way high. 50, 60 feet high, wow. Whatever. And the lighting is so cool. So they've got lighting on the floor ever so often. And so there's constantly like shadows moving all around on the ceiling and stuff because the lighting is coming up from the floor all the way. So it was really, it was a cool concept for sure.
Yeah.
And then, so I definitely looked at the menu before we got there and was kind of trying to decide between a few different options. Then of course, as happens, anytime you go to any sort of restaurant, you pay attention to maybe what other people are eating as you're sitting, as you're trying to, you know, decide what to do and what you want and kind of glance and see, oh, here comes their food. That looks, what is that? You know,
excuse me. Can I get a taste of that?
You could definitely, you could, you know, pizza was like a wood fired pizza.
Yeah.
Was one of their things. So I'd gone in, Kara and I talked on the way there. Okay. Which one of these appetizers do you think this would be the best? And I was like, I like that meatloaf over the polenta. So we got that. But then once I saw one of those, I wasn't going to just order a pizza. I was going to get a pasta dish.
Yeah.
It's homemade, handmade pastas. But man, when I saw that pizza come out, I couldn't resist. I was like, we have got to try that. So we basically had a pizza and the meatballs as our appetizer, which is way too much food. But we did it anyways. And we could always just take it back, you know, the pizza especially. And matter of fact, there's still a piece in our fridge right now. But so we did that. Kara got a salmon dish. And then I got a ravioli, lobster ravioli.
Oh, that's my favorite, one of my favorite dishes.
It was good. It wasn't so good. Like, if we go back, I'll try something different. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you luck into a dish that it was just like, oh my gosh. Did I notice the marble was worn where the teller stood? No, we were on the other side of it. Like, we were on where you'd be, say, the front side instead of the back side where we were seated. No, but it was cool. It was a really cool restaurant. The food was delicious. Very good. It was a fun place. There's no doubt about it.
Well, I'm anxious to check that out.
Yeah,
I've always heard about it.
I would definitely recommend. It was a good place for sure. And then let's see, what was that? That was Friday, and Saturday I was so worried about the storms.
Yeah.
That were being forecast for Saturday afternoon, that we just kind of got up and we went and ate breakfast, and then we went to one of the wholesale joints that we get stuff from.
Yeah.
And then just busted it home.
Got home. Yeah.
Yeah. And we actually got home in time to go to Kara's mom's, did a little swimming there Saturday. Sunday got up, went to church. Actually, first thing I did was got up and put on that brisket.
Yeah. So how'd that go?
Oh, my goodness. Here's the deal. That rub that I was telling you about on Friday, the Aaron Franklin.
Yeah.
It's perfect. Like, the only way that it would be operator error, the only way you wouldn't end up with a delicious brisket, because first off, obviously we were working with a great piece of meat from our man Monty Tucker. And then that rub is just perfect. It's salt and different, like, grinds of pepper.
Mm-hmm.
But it's exactly what is good, great about salt and pepper and beef. It works perfectly together. And it was delicious. Absolutely delicious. I cooked it I'd watched video from Aaron Franklin about how, like, timing of different things. And so I put it on at like 7:45. I weighed it. It was 9 pounds, and I trimmed some fat off. So it's probably 8.5 pounds, 8 pounds, something like that. And it was like we left, went to church, Sunday school and church, came back, and it was exactly the temperature that it needed to be to start wrapping it in the butcher paper, according to Aaron Franklin. And so I had some of that peach looking butcher paper that you see on all those videos.
Oh, yeah.
And wrapped it up in that, and it was done. Let's see. When did I pull it off of there? Maybe 3:30. So 7:45 to 3:30. what is that, 7 hours and 45 minutes, something like that. And so we had that. Then we had jalapeno pop, gigantic jalapeno poppers that Dustin had made. And Rusty had a pork loin that was stuffed. And it was really delicious. It's like a Cajun-y type.
Yeah.
Bacon wrapped pork loin stuffed with like cream cheese and jalapeno or whatever. Yeah. Well, we there was lots of food. Swimming, and it was a good time.
Good deal.
It's a very good time. Then played golf yesterday.
Pretty day yesterday. Maybe a tick warm, but
it was pretty hot by the time the playoffs, all the playoffs started. Me and my man Joe Wynn, tied for first in the second flight. Went into a playoff, and Ricky, Don, and Lisa beat us in the there was five of us. And they birdied number three to win the playoff. And
cool.
All the rest of us kind of decided enough's enough. Let's just split second and third between us and move on. So that's what we did. But it was a gorgeous day. Absolutely gorgeous. Maybe just a tick on the warm side, but
it's
May.
It's May. It's the unofficial start of summer. So why not? It was great outside. Good weekend. Well, sounds good. So no leftovers?
There's a little bit left over. I can't even remember.
Sometimes the barometer is like, well, if there's leftovers or not. If there's not, then you know you made a really good
meal. There was like a pepper. There wasn't much that I put into one of those foil pans.
Yeah.
At night, that night. There was a little bit of leftovers, but not very much. I'll find that out at lunch today when I take that off. Today. Oh, yeah, that's what all was in there. I just can't remember quite exactly what there was. But, yeah, no, there wasn't very much left over. So that's right. It's normally a good sign.
Yeah.
If you don't have a half a brisket left over sitting there that nobody wants to eat because it's dried out.
Yeah.
But so what did you do?
See, I'm with you. Today feels like Monday.
I know.
Saturday, Sunday, we did the softball thing into season tournament with the little ones. And that kept us involved. And Sunday, they had a little pool party out at a friend's house that the team did after their game on Sunday or games on Sunday. And then yesterday, cooked those ribs, and we just hung out at the house. We did go to a baseball game Sunday night, little 10U baseball game to watch a friend of ours. And that was about it. Nothing. We didn't go anywhere. Just did that. So it's a good weekend. Good weekend. And I mentioned the no leftovers thing. There's no ribs left. Mm-hmm. They were all gone. And James is getting, she's coming around. You know, usually those 7-year-olds are kind of picky eaters, but she dug right in. We did the ribs. We did corn on the cob. We did jalapeno poppers. Potatoes. And so it was a good meal on Sunday night, last night, Monday night, excuse me. Yeah. But we didn't go anywhere. Didn't just did a lot of the softball thing, and that was it. So, good weekend, though. And we were kind of on edge on Saturday about those storms, which we were kind of, I'm thinking, that's all going to be east of us. Then at one point, I thought one was going to build right on top of us. No. It got crazy windy, real ominous feeling in the air, but then it more or less pushed off, but you could... And people were like, what's going on? I said, I think that's that storm. It's just the energy of that storm. That's why we're getting this wind. We're just getting that kind of that downdraft, I guess. But it's pushing away from us. It was crazy. Real ominous feeling all day, really, of the weather. So, but we avoided it, and there's no delays or nothing like that.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. There was a point there where it was like, oh, it's...
Felt weird.
It might come.
And they gave one of those tornado watches, those...
PDS.
PDS. They gave another one of those, not for our area, I don't think, but it was more, like I said, to the east of us. And they were serious about it. And it seemed like every storm popped up on Saturday had a tornado warned.
Mm-hmm.
Or was tornado warned at one point. So they were right about that, you know. How serious those storms were. And it looks like all week this week we have chances of rain or possible storms. I don't know, like, if it's severe or just rain.
It's hard to tell.
It is hard to tell.
Did that... Oh, I'm looking here. Lacey Swope. As I was wondering, I guess it rained last night? I did not hear any of this.
I could hear the thunder at my house, but I don't think it maybe... It may be sprinkled, but I don't think it rained hard. Now, I know down south, Kiowa County, it dropped some big, big hail from what I heard from our morning guys. But,
oh, really?
Yeah.
You said about 4:30? Well, no wonder I didn't hear it. I was sleeping.
It woke me up. Well, it woke the dog up first. The dog was kind of whimpering. My dog's a wimp when it comes to storms and thunder. And he was whimpering.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, does that dog need out? And then I realized, oh, it's thundering outside. I checked my phone. And was, well, nothing here. It's just kind of over there. And it never went severe here. So.
Well, good. That makes me feel better. I didn't sleep. They're supposed to be up here. You know, they just get to a point where if it's like, you know, 3:30 or 4 a.m.,
yeah.
It's hard to wake me up.
Oh, yeah.
That's I even had my phone on, like, because, you know, it's my week and had it on.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Because it's yesterday was Monday.
It is Monday, yeah.
So it was like, but I didn't hear it beep or I didn't even look at it. But anyway, yeah, hopefully it looked like it rained here. Like, it just had that look of that it rained. At my house.
Yeah.
But I don't have any idea. I really don't have any idea if it did or not. So what's going on this week?
There's a lot going on.
So now wait a minute. With the softball, you're going to state now?
Well, that was the league championship or league tournament. End of season tournament.
Already?
Yeah. Holy Everything God. Was moved up by like a week.
Okay.
This season. Even state. Because I don't want to speak for Kids Inc., but okay, Kids moved up their state tournament by a week. Therefore, Kids Inc. started everything earlier to get it all done. And it made sense. I didn't mind it. But that was the end. But that was 8U. Now, this weekend is 10U's end of season tournament and T-ball. 12U and 8U was this past weekend. But it's like top four. If you finish top four in the tournament,
mm-hmm.
You qualify for state.
Oh, okay.
So that's how that's done. So top four was Canute, Sentinel. Those two played for the championship. Merritt and then Navajo, I believe. So I certainly hope all four I just mentioned. I know we're going. I hope those other three are going and represent.
Where is it?
It's in Chickasha.
Chickasha, not bad.
Chickasha this year.
Not bad. I did notice that even though we don't have anything to do with it, once again, 12U baseball was in Salisaw. Boy, not displeased to not have to make that trip again.
that's a jog, man.
It's every time. Every other from T-ball to 10U is Clinton or Weatherford. And the 12U is in Salisaw. So that doesn't – no worries about that from us. No worries. So don't have to worry. Don't have to plan. Don't have to nothing. Even though we had a good time over there last year. Okay, so that's our weekends. Big thank you to Paul Jones Drug.
It is Tuesday. I'm glad you remembered that.
Paul Jones Drug. It is a Tuesday. I literally did not think about it being Tuesday until I put the microphone on. I was like, oh, yeah, it's Tuesday. Oops. Paul Jones Drug is care you can trust. They are the oldest compounding pharmacy in Elk City. Free local delivery, drive-through pickup, curbside testing, and vaccinations. They've also got their long-term care unit packaging. It's what they call the blister packs. Rodney and the gang at Paul Jones Drug, care you can trust. All right, when we come back, we'll hit a bunch of the college stuff. We got the Women's College World Series, softball, that field is set. The baseball regionals will start this week as well. We got some college golf. Quade Cummins continues to play great on the Corn Ferry Tour as well. To hit it all next, Skinny on Sports right here on the Sports Animal.
Paul Jones Drug is Elk City's most experienced compounding pharmacy, meaning they can custom make your prescription medications to your doctor's specifications, safely and effectively providing you with exactly what you need. And for your convenience, Paul Jones Drug has a drive-through pickup window as well as curbside service for testing and vaccinations, and offers free local delivery. Just a couple reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains?
The Skinny on Sports.
That's what I'm talking about.
Welcome back, Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal right here on a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Guess what that means?
It's Tuesday. It's something good at
Boomtown. It is chicken fried
steak. Chicken fry.
$5 chicken fry and one side is the Tuesday special down at Boomtown Grill. Go down for lunch or for supper. You can have the $5 chicken fry special, and you can watch either game three or game four of the Mavs and the Wolves, or maybe you can get yourself into hockey and watch game four of the Rangers against the Florida Panthers. 12 big screen TVs, happy hour from 2 to 6, Monday through Friday. With appetizer plates and drink specials, 11 beers on tap, over 30 bottles or cans are available, imports and domestics. Not only the chicken fry, if you're moved for pizza or pasta, they've got that with artisan pizzas, hamburgers, French dip sandwich, chicken wraps. They've got it all at the Boomtown Grill, 2103 South Main, right here in Elk City. Boomtown open every day of the week, 11 to 10 on Sunday through Thursday, 11 to 11 on Fridays and Saturdays. All right, so Women's College World Series field is set. Ready to first pitch on Thursday in Oklahoma City. The top half of the bracket, the seeds held exactly as they were seeded nationally. Texas, even though they had to go to three games, advanced as the number one seed. Florida, in three games, advances the number four seed. Oklahoma State swept Arizona out of it in two games. And then Stanford came back from an 0-1 hold. Them and Texas both lost the first game of the Super Regionals and won two straight to get into the Women's College World Series at Oklahoma City. Then down on the bottom half of the bracket, a couple of upsets occurred. Oklahoma held serve with a sweep. UCLA held serve with a sweep. But then Duke went to Missouri and knocked off the Tigers to advance, and then also Alabama beat Tennessee two in a row after dropping game one. One of those games was the longest super regional game of all time, 14 innings. I think that was Saturday, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The Saturday game. But Alabama and Duke upset Tennessee and Mizzou. So that has the field looking like this. At 11 o'clock on Thursday morning, you get Alabama and UCLA. That's the 14 seed and the 6 seed. Following that, scheduled at 1:30, is OU and Duke, the two seed and the 10 seed. Then the nighttime session starts with number one Texas and number one Stanford. That's a 6 o'clock start. And then at 8:30, you get number four Florida and number five Oklahoma State. Not surprising that a bunch of these teams are there because they've been the best all season long. But you still did get a couple of upsets there on the OU side of the bracket with Duke and Alabama.
You know, I was not shocked that Duke won. I'll be real honest.
A lot of people, when it came out that they were a 10 seed, thought that they were seeded too low. Like, they almost should have been flipped with Missouri and been able to host that.
And I would have felt comfortable with that. There was a time when one of the times this year when Oklahoma faltered and there was a discussion of who should be number one. A lot of people said, why not Duke? Duke. So that one doesn't really shock me. So, you better be ready, because this just because they're a 10th seed, they're definitely not. They're I would almost safely say they're a top five team in this country. They're really good. So that one didn't shock me. And then when I saw these super regionals like Alabama, Tennessee, you got two SEC teams. Anything could happen there. And the funnest super regional had been the Texas A&M one, from the coaches getting ejected, from the crazy comeback of Texas. And then A&M tried to do the same thing in game three after they got a lead, gave up the lead, had multiple chances to maybe tie it or get the lead. And squandered, like, what was it, 6-3 at one point? I don't know. But that was – and then it was Texas and Texas A&M. Get used to that series now that the Texas is moving to the SEC. So, Oklahoma State looked good. I said Arizona is a team that's not scared of any competition, despite being unranked and all that stuff. But they are very familiar with winning, and Oklahoma State represented well and protected the home field and moved on. So, it's a good field. It's a real good – a lot of familiar names there that can make a run at this thing. I don't think this is just as clear-cut as it has been in the past, obviously, with OU – winning the last three. If OU doesn't want to get four in a row, they're going to have to work hard at it because there are a ton of really good – I mean, all these other teams are – they all can have a case of saying that they are worthy of a national championship. I'm excited about this field.
Yeah, only three, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and UCLA, swept the Super Regionals. So that's how you know just right off the bat how competitive it really was. Between, you know, basically the top – well, it was. Everybody in the top 16 made it, right? I mean, there wasn't any upsets the week before. Oh, yeah, there was Baylor. Baylor and Arizona. So, there's two. So, you know, but you think about – so 14 out of the top 16 seeds were there, and only three of those were sweeps. And that's insanely competitive. And I think you're right. I think that has been maybe the theme of this season around the country, at least, is – finally, it looks like Oklahoma is at least able to be beaten. Mm-hmm. That really hasn't been necessarily the case the last couple of years, but this does look at least a little bit of vulnerability. Of course, what are they? They have five losses or what have you?
Six.
Yeah, six. I mean, yeah. It's still an incredible year, right? But there does feel like at least the door is cracked a little bit for somebody to be able to dethrone the Sooners, and it would not surprise me at all if it wasn't Texas or Oklahoma State. Texas has, you know, we saw it last year with Najee Kandare, the pitcher for Stanford. She's as good as anybody.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough
game. So that's
game
that, you know, that's right off the bat. As the number one team, you've got that coming at you. But man, it just I don't know. There's something about, you know, we saw it in the Big 12 regular season Bedlam series where Oklahoma State went down to Norman and took two out of three from the Sooners. And it part of me thinks, okay, it feels like that's the time. But on the other side of that coin, and you've said it, and Patty Gasso said it on that Sunday game when Oklahoma turned it around and won, didn't get swept by OSU, even right then she said, okay, something a little bit different about this team now than there was, and that's crazy to say after one win, but she's proven to be right, because since that, Oklahoma has just breezed through all the way into the Women's College World Series, and like Will said on the text line, I think he's right, until somebody beats Oklahoma in Oklahoma City at the Women's College World Series, especially in a three-game series, if the Sooners get to the finals like they have the last three, until somebody beats them, they've still got to be considered the favorite in my mind.
Yeah, they really should move this thing out of Oklahoma City. Let's just say it just to laugh at it. But, no, because – and he's right. There are a lot of veterans on this team that this is familiar to them. I thought what was very telling for OU in this Super Regional was the pitching selection from Coach Gasso – and the trust she had in game one going with Maxwell, who struggled very early. And my wife's like, why isn't she pulling her out? And I said, because I think it's a tie game at that point. I think she wants to see her get out of this. And she has a lot of trust in her. And she did. And then she also had trust in her team. And the bats came alive in game one. And then it was a run rule. Game two didn't pitch May. And I questioned that. I'm like, well, why didn't she put in May to close this out? Well, she did in the final six outs of the game, but I thought she's just holding on to her in case she needs her for game three. There's a lot of trust there from the head coach and her pitching staff on who she used, who she left in there when she elected to bring in certain pitchers. That was big for me. That sets them up with a lot of confidence moving forward into this tournament. In Oklahoma State, what about this Florida matchup? even though it's a 5-4, Oklahoma State, the 5 seed, I feel like Oklahoma State's the heavy favorite in that one, in my eyes, honestly. They got a pitcher or a player of the year candidate on their team. That one, I don't think they'll have any problem with. I'm really rooting for like you mentioned, OU, Texas, or OSU. Any kind of scenario in the finals would just – that'd be awesome for me.
Yeah, so the way it sets out, and we figured this out the other day, it'll be Texas and Stanford, Oklahoma State and Florida on one side of the bracket, Oklahoma, Duke, UCLA, and Alabama on the other side. So if you are wanting to see a Bedlam final,
win out.
Either both win or both lose, and then come back because then they won't get
brackets,
each other. That's
yeah.
right. Because so the first games will happen, and then the winners will play the winners. The losers will play the losers. But after that, so the winners of the losers game will play the loser on the other side of the bracket of the winners game. And so that's where, you know, if Oklahoma State or Texas or Oklahoma for that matter, that's where they could all start switching around and finding each other before the finals, even though neither one of them, even though Oklahoma's on the other side of the bracket from Texas and Oklahoma State. Wouldn't surprise me whatsoever to see Texas and Oklahoma State both win. Then all of a sudden the winner is set in that bracket. And that's where the loser may would have to come over, you know, or vice versa. If Oklahoma fell, they would be up there going to have to go through one of those to get to the finals. So I think there's still a pretty decent chance that we might see that, either Bedlam or Red River, in the final series. And for me, we've already seen Red River. Let's see Bedlam.
Yeah, we saw Red River 2 years ago. Yeah, I want to see Bedlam this year.
Let's see a Bedlam final.
100%. Yes. How good is the SEC in softball going to be next year?
Oh, my gosh. So Texas, Florida, Oklahoma, Alabama would all be SEC members. And then not only that, but you go back to some of the ones that didn't make it. You know, Tennessee and Alabama played each other.
Yeah.
Right, so there's, those baseball and softball both. You know, as hard as, you know, and as much as we're going to spend the next 3 months talking about what's Oklahoma going to do in their first year in the SEC in football, what's Texas going to do, how is the conference going to be too much for them? The truth of it is, as difficult as that is, come get some of softball and baseball. That's where it really gets hard with the quality and the depth in both of those sports in that league.
Yeah.
And, you know, the one that they're leaving, obviously, you know, Baylor a whisker away almost had half the field Big 12 teams.
It's true.
At least from this year. Now, obviously, that changes next year with Texas and Oklahoma both moving out of the SEC, moving into the SEC out of the Big 12. No, I think it's going to be a fun week or so in Oklahoma City. Crowds are going to be massive. The one thing, and you mentioned it off air, we were talking about weather. That's the one thing that doesn't look very good throughout the entirety of this coming up, is there's pretty decent chances of rain and storms basically every single day through the rest of the forecasted. I mean, we get on the National Weather Service, gets all the way through about next Monday right now, and every day it's 20, 40, 60% chance of rain and maybe even thunderstorms. So that could be one thing that derails it just a little bit. But other than that, it looks like a great tournament is on tap for the Women's College World Series. On the baseball side of things.
And by the way, and we'll end it with this, or I will, there is no – I mention it half just joking about – moving the tournament from Oklahoma City. There's no way it's happening. See, the Devon Energy invested into this. They're investing money into the facilities there that pretty much ensures that thing's going nowhere, which is really, really cool. And I think it's just hilarious. That's the angle people go with. If that was the case, move the baseball tournament out of Omaha. How come Nebraska or Creighton's not there every year, you know? So, it's really cool. It's that Oklahoma City has embraced this tournament, and now you're seeing big companies embrace it too. Like, okay, we're going to invest in this because this is a big deal. It's a big moneymaker for the economy in Oklahoma City. It's very cool. Glad it's going to be there for a long time.
Yeah, it ain't going nowhere.
No.
On the baseball side?
No, okay. last thing. I wonder, because I mentioned this off air, like, I think last week or a couple weeks ago during the conference tournaments, because, you know, the Big 12 tournament is in Oklahoma City. That got me wondering, where's the SEC softball conference tournament? Well, it rotates from campus to campus. I wonder if that'll continue with the addition of the schools, or if they would look into maybe bringing it to Oklahoma City or Dallas or something like that. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if Dallas has anything like Oklahoma City has.
Well, I mean,
or just keep it school to school.
It's the pinnacle of the sport. I mean, I think that's a natural, easy change, is to move that SEC softball tournament to the mecca of the sport, which is right here in Oklahoma City.
But it would be really cool to see them stick with the on-campus version of it. It'd be really cool to see Love's Field host a SEC conference tournament and see Tennessee and Alabama play on a Friday afternoon at Love's Field.
Yeah.
I mean, they've built themselves a nice little facility that could host something like that, I bet.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, I mean, it's
fun. It's just fun looking forward to what's going to happen in the SEC.
On the baseball side, Oklahoma ends up the ninth seed, which is the first team to not get a national seed. And so in order to not only – they're going to host regionals.
Your first thoughts, though, when you saw that?
I
didn't bother you?
It felt like they were going to be right there somewhere, either right on the cutting block or right off.
Because we said going in, we thought get a couple wins in the tournament.
Yeah.
And when they got all the way to the championship game, I thought at that point, that's enough. They're going to get it.
I just don't know what everybody else did around them. Did Florida State win the ACC?
Yeah, that's a great point. I wasn't really paying attention.
I wasn't able to pay as much attention to everything around them. Obviously, knowing Bedlam was the Big 12 final. With the way that Oklahoma ran through the tournament to the finals, yeah, I could either way. You could see them being, you know, it felt like last week going into it that most people thought they were going to be a national seed. So I'm not real sure what exactly they didn't do that Florida State did, or maybe that, you know, some of the, you know, we always see
the Kansas game, they had to win walk off style comeback to do it.
It's a
win's a win. You're right. Yeah.
There's no style points in baseball. If you win the game, you win the game, yeah. Right? But
that's why I kept going in my head, like, well, what didn't they do? I thought they did enough. But yeah. Whatever. I mean, there's other things that happen around them, I'm sure.
So Oklahoma, the ninth seed, they will play ORU in game one. Duke and Connecticut are the other two teams in that regional. Lots of people, you start, you know, it's just like the basketball bracket. Lots of people are touting Duke as a really formidable number two seed in that regional. So we'll see how that plays out.
Worried about ORU, to be quite honest. Don't have to travel very far, and they too know how to play a little baseball.
Oklahoma State is the 11th seed, so they would have to go on the road for Supers, but they will host at Obrate Stadium. They'll play Niagara in the first game. The other two teams there, Florida and Nebraska. Lots of talk about the fact that Florida got into the tournament with the 28-27 record. People not pleased that the Gators are there and some other kind of smaller. I know College of Charleston was one that people were super upset that didn't make the field. Here's the deal: as much as anybody thinks that there's an SEC bias when it comes to, you know, the football playoff or, you know, any of that stuff, you're going to find out that baseball is a completely different animal in that regard, because look at the SEC got like 11 or 12 teams in record, and they, you know, they play such hard schedules that, you know, you see Florida at 28-27, you're going, really? That's good enough to make the tournament? Yeah, watch out. I mean, what was a couple years ago, when OU played in the finals against Ole Miss? Ole Miss was like one of the very last team in the tournament. And they won the national title. So any of these SEC schools with the quality of baseball that is played in that conference, any of them in the field have a chance to win the title.
Very much so. That's the fun thing about baseball. You just got to go out there and play. Sometimes you get some really good pitching, and you can shut down a really good offense, or vice versa. The offense can really rock a good pitcher. But that you just got to play the game, and it'll all work out. But in the good example with Ole Miss, kind of a team that kind of lackluster that got in there, and then they got on a heater, much like OU did that season. You know, they got on a heater and both met in the finals, and it was what it was. But you just got to go in there and play. You just can't expect that the number one seed is going to run through this thing with ease.
Yeah, Oklahoma State, they've both teams, OU more so in the midweek games to the early season with some struggles. Once it got into conference play, outside of the Bedlam series in Texas, OU beat everybody. But Oklahoma State, they have been just smashing the baseball. And in that yard out there in Stillwater at Obrate, with, you know, last year Arkansas was one of those teams that probably underachieved just a little bit to get put into there, to get put into that regional, and that was always going to be pretty tough. I think Oklahoma State got a little bit better draw this time, even though Florida is an SEC team. But the 28-27 record, there don't seem to be quite as formidable of a two seed as what Arkansas was last year. So I fully expect the Pokes to run through that regional. Oklahoma, you mentioned Oral Roberts, and a lot of people love Duke, and so I'll be interested to see how they set up the pitching with Skip Johnson. Will he try to keep Davis for Duke in game two, or do you have to just fire it out there?
Goes back to that best available talk. Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how that's all set up on the text line. Carson Binge up at Oklahoma State has been phenomenal. You're starting to see his name, you know, in those mock drafts in the top 15 ish from UConn. So he's going to be obviously one of the guys to watch throughout the Oklahoma State's run through, or however far that is. Hopefully both schools end up in Omaha, just like they ended up in Oklahoma City on the softball side of things. So it's really cool. Really cool stuff coming to the state this week. Also, on the golf course, man, Oklahoma battled and battled and battled to try to get themselves into the match play starting today in the top eight. They came up one shot shy of the top eight and going back to the match play again. You play 72 holes and it comes down to one shot. I mean, everybody on that team, I'm sure immediately as soon as the round was over, went back through, you know, all four rounds thinking, man, just that shot or this shot would have been the difference. If you're able to, you know, get up and down on this hole, we tie and we go to, you know, everybody's going to have that same idea that, dang it, it could have been, if I wouldn't have done this, we would have been there. So Oklahoma misses by a shot. Oklahoma State missed the top 15 cut the day before in order to try to make that match play. OSU with rounds of 303, 305, and 299, that's 43 over. The top eight ended up at 25 over. Georgia Tech 25 over, OU 26. And that was the cut at the top eight. So those would be Illinois, Georgia Tech, Vanderbilt, Ohio State, Virginia, and Auburn, North Carolina, and Florida State. North Carolina has probably been the best team all year long with a bunch of guys that are really seasoned and veterans. They'd be hard to beat. But just about like in anything, there's a bunch of SEC and ACC in that thing too down there on the golf course. So I'm sure tough finish for OU not being able to get back in that match play. They were so close, but
they got there. I mean, got
so
to the national,
far away,
gave themselves a shot, literally. And OSU too. That's the expectation with those programs, is getting to that weekend, that Memorial Day weekend. Yeah.
And then also, local guy Quade Cummins from Weatherford, he has been tearing the Corn Ferry Tour up so far this season. That continued this week. They were at Knoxville, Tennessee. Quade shot 61 in the fourth round to move up the leaderboard. He actually when he finished, he was in like a 3 or 4 way tie for first. Some other guys had 4 or 5 holes left to play at the time. He ends up tying for third, a shot out of a playoff that Harry Higgs won. Harry Higgs has won the last 2 Corn Ferry Tour events. Golfers kind of know him. He's the fun-loving guy, that the big rig, as they say. But now he's down on the Corn Ferry Tour trying to get back to the PGA Tour. It looks like he's won twice the last 2 weeks, so he's going to be able to do that without a doubt. But Quade ties for third, one shot out of that playoff. And if you look at the points list, the season-long points list, Quade is now in 5th place. Got to be in the top 30 by year's end. He's getting really, really close to assuring himself of that feat. When I looked at last year's points list, 30th was like 846 points or something like that, with still 15 tournaments or whatever left. Quade's at 781. So, I mean, he's another top 10, and he's for sure going to, I mean, he's going to guarantee himself a spot on the PGA Tour next year with another top 10 finish at some point in the season. But he has played really, really, really well, and he's got himself in a great spot to be on the PGA Tour next year. First time he would have achieved being a tour player, a card-holding PGA Tour member in his career. So that's pretty exciting stuff to think about. All the different we were talking about this, I can't even remember when it was, but, you know, Ryder grew up out here, true freshman at OU, played fantastic all season long. Quade is now just maybe months away from playing on the PGA Tour. And then, of course, in July, we'll see where Cash goes in the Major League Baseball draft. But just the high level of athletes over the last little, like a decade span, that have roots in Western Oklahoma is pretty amazing.
That's pretty cool.
Pretty cool times. All right, when we come back, question on the text line about Josh Holliday. We can kind of look into any pressure there to be able to advance. Also, NBA playoffs. Conference finals are over in the East. Could be over tonight in the West. Lots more to wrap up. Skinny on Sports right here on the Sports Animal.
Paul Jones Drug offers a free service that makes taking your daily medication safe and easy. It's called convenience packaging, meaning they can combine all of your daily medications and put them in sealed, separate daily packages. This process replaces you from having to fill your daily medication dispenser. And as always, Paul Jones Drug prepares individual blister packaging for long-term care patients. With their drive-through window, curbside service, and free local delivery, it's just more reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise, we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
Ah, first or last, baby.
Welcome back, Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal, wrapping up a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Also, a big thank you to our friends at Rother Brothers in Clinton, north of Clinton there on Highway 183. Rother Brothers offers a variety of agricultural and outdoor power equipment that is second to none in all of Oklahoma. There isn't a more friendly, knowledgeable staff than what you find at Rother Brothers. Happy to help you find either the perfect piece of equipment or the parts that you've been looking for. We've got Case IH, Polaris, Great Plains, Rhino, Dixie Chopper mowers, steel, commercial, and residential tools, on and on and on. The selection is huge. Just call or stop by Rother Brothers, Highway 183 north of Clinton, 580-323-1981. All right, so it's an interesting thought, I think, on the text line about the idea of what kind of pressure is there on Josh Holliday for Oklahoma State to get out of the regionals, play in the super regional, and then obviously the goal would be to eventually get back to Omaha for the first time in a while. You know, I don't know. At what point, at some point, there has to be some, because of the history and the tradition of Oklahoma State baseball. At the same time, I don't know if it's quite there yet. You know, it just, I think in this, you know, everything is so much more difficult to do than what it used to be able, than it used to be. There's so many more teams that are really good at baseball than maybe there were when you think about the glory days of the 80s with OSU on the baseball field. But that's also, even though it's one of their guys, like one of their guys, I mean, Josh Holliday played there. The Holliday name is synonymous with Oklahoma State baseball, with Dad, Tom, and obviously him playing. Eventually, there is going to be some sort of pressure on him to perform in the postseason. Would it be a pretty good – it'd probably be a good idea for them to get out of the regional this year instead of losing again in the regional round and at least go play in a super to have a chance to advance into the College World Series? But I don't know how much real pressure there is for him right now. I don't believe that there's a ton of it just yet. Now, don't make it out of this regional, and then you know maybe that heat starts to crank up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he's not on a hot seat. I don't think he deserves to be or should be. They got 40 wins this year. They did win the Big 12 tournament just coming off of that. But I know there's always that expectation, especially from our man Jim. You hear him talk about this, like OSU should always expect to try to make the World Series, and they've come up short recently. But you're right. It's hard to do. It's incredibly hard to do. A lot of the programs in the country are getting better, and it's a tough road to hoe a lot of the time. So I don't know about pressure. I think he's a baseball guy. He probably says, I'm going to come out. Well, he's from a baseball family. He's probably coming out one game at a time. We're here to play baseball. Whatever happens, happens. And he's going to put that team in its best position to win. And I don't think there's a lot of pressure applied to him. I don't think there's any pressure applied to him from his bosses. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think they're completely happy with him. Now the fans are one thing. Are crazy. Everybody has crazy fans that are gonna go crazy if they lose out or whatever. But I don't think he has a lot of pressure.
They haven't made the College World Series since 2016. And they've only been in the Super Regionals three times in his 12th seasons. I mean, that's pretty lean when you consider looking back at the World Series appearances from 81 all the way through 87 consecutively, then three times in the four times in the 90s. They've only been to one College World Series this century, which is pretty shocking to actually see that on paper. So maybe there is more than we think. It's just him being a former player, obviously in that Cowboy. You know, he's one of them. It's what he is, and so he's won 65% of his games there. You know, more wins than anybody since Gary Ward in his season, you know, at a pretty good clip. But I understand the question, though, because of the lack of success in the postseason. I can definitely understand the question, and now we'll see. You know, it'd probably be a good idea to win. Just go ahead and win the regional, and then you get to the super regionals, anything can happen, right? And
oh, yeah.
In a three-game series, you're not going to be favored in that three-game series because more than likely you're going on the road. And so, yeah, it probably wouldn't be a bad idea to go ahead and win the regional. That way, at least that part of it's over or not have to be brought up and start getting to that point every single year. And then eventually you'll break through and go ahead and get into the World Series. Hoops, Celtics sweep away the Pacers, 105-102 in Game 4. So now Boston has, gosh, the finals start, what, a week from Thursday, I think?
Is that right?
I think it's a week from Thursday. Yeah, June 6th. And so they got an immense amount of time off. To try to heal, you know, Porzingis, that probably helps in that regard with him, to try to get back, you know, healthy enough to play. And I think, you know, he makes them a lot harder out for what looks like it's going to be Dallas. Mm-hmm. The Mavs now up 3-0, hosting game four tonight down in the Metroplex with a chance to sweep away the Timberwolves. I think a lot of people were really excited starting in the semifinal round, especially out west. And we got two really good series in the semifinals with Dallas beating OKC in six, and then, of course, that other going seven. How surprised are you that the Mavs are on the verge of sweeping out the Timberwolves after the way that they dethroned the defending champs?
Very. Very, very of a sweep. I wouldn't be surprised of them winning this series. If you asked me at the beginning of the series, I expect a really more competitive series, to be honest. And some of the games have been competitive, just gone Dallas's way.
Now, game two was a crusher for Minnesota. Mm-hmm. They led by double digits in the second half, into the fourth quarter, and then, you know, Dallas closed the game on like a 9-1 run or something crazy like that to kind of really take control. And then even the other night, you got a pretty competitive game down the stretch, and the Mavs just make shots and then shots. Exactly, yeah. When you need them to do it.
Yeah. So very shocked that it's happening this way. Potential sweep. That is because of Minnesota's defense. I thought defense could slow them down enough where they'd be okay. But they just did they just throw everything at Denver and didn't have anything left in the tank for Dallas?
And so it feels like that's the case. That these games have almost all kind of followed the exact same footprint, or what am I trying to say? Anyways, they've all looked the same. And at the end, Dallas looks like the more fresh team to make the plays down the stretch than Minnesota does. And I don't know if that's, you know, Anthony Edwards doesn't look like what we thought he – I mean, people were comparing him to Michael Jordan just a round ago. And now, you know, whether it's having to expend all of his energy trying to chase Kyrie around and then not having enough left on the other end, he just they just look like when each of these games gets to the last 3 or 4 minutes in close, hard-fought games – Dallas still has some juice, and Minnesota kind of runs out of gas. These games have all kind of looked the exact same down the stretch. So, game four tonight in Dallas, 7:30, could be the last NBA basketball game we have until a week from Thursday, if Dallas sweeps out the Minnesota Timberwolves. Yeah, I'm shocked. I not that, like you said, I wouldn't have been shocked if Dallas won the series, but a sweep, I never saw coming. Hockey tonight, the Rangers lead Florida 2-1. Game four down in Florida. Also in that other series in the West, Dallas has won two straight after losing game one to Edmonton. So that game four will be tomorrow night up in Edmonton. So we're nearing conclusions of those winter sports with both the NBA and the NHL. And then one final note that was brought up again on the text line. It's a glorious day in Major League Baseball. Angel Hernandez apparently has retired. So the awesome videos of him screwing up calls, I guess, will be over. As it appears that he has... Now, how does this happen? It's like a 2 months into the season, does he get tired of seeing himself on Twitter making bad calls, or is this somebody, did someone come to him and say, Angel, you're embarrassing the Major League Baseball. We're gonna need you to shut her down. How do you think
that
works?
Maybe there's something in a contract that said if you work through Memorial Day weekend 2024, you get this much if you retire. I don't know. I don't know why that stuff like that be in a contract, not finish out a season or even start a season. Who cares? He's gone. Bye. See ya. Best tweet I saw about that. It's the best call he's made in his career.
Yeah. that's funny. Angel Hernandez. And then also, kind of a sad weekend in the world of sports with Grayson Murray, 30-year-old PGA Tour player. Took his own life, apparently. That story is pretty wild. That Peter Malnati played with him on Friday and went up to the PGA Tour officials and basically said, make sure you check on him. And then I guess news started coming out Sunday or Saturday that he had taken his own life. And then Bill Walton passes away at the age of 70. How crazy was it that literally the day after the Pac-12 ended, that Bill Walton passes away?
I didn't know he was dealing with any health issues. They usually like to keep that under wraps. But that one kind of, I went, whoa, when I saw that news. Yeah, he was a figure. He was, you know, his broadcasting is what we know him for. You know, we weren't really, I don't think we were alive when he was playing.
Yeah, not much. I mean,
and nothing that we can remember. But I remember, who was this quirky guy in the, on the mic? Who was this guy? And then, you know, growing up, you realize the history. And, you know, he's a big part of that UCLA run, part of it.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah. So, but he led a good life. Very good one.
It looks like breaking news in the golf world. Lexi Thompson, 29-year-old Lexi Thompson, announces she's going to retire at the end of the year.
Okay.
You can't help but wonder if what happened over the weekend with Grayson Murray doesn't affect – is that a side effect? If she's dealing with some of the same mental health issues and whatnot, if that doesn't help her to decide, you know what?
It's
not worth it.
Yeah. It makes you wonder. I mean, a lot of people on the outside, I mean, myself included, think, well, how bad could it have been? You're playing golf. You're getting paid to play golf. Even, you know, you finish middle of the field, you still get a cut. You still get a paycheck. How bad could it be? But, you know, there's a lot of things going on there. A lot of we talk about pressure. It's kind of been the theme of the show. Maybe there's a lot of pressure there that just mounts up. So, yeah, it's sad. And maybe that's something that the PGA and others are going to have a discussion about.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that that's going to be headed that way, for sure. All right, everybody have a great Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. We will be back tomorrow. Will we know the NBA Finals matchup? It's a possibility. Dallas and Minnesota tonight. Have a great day. Skinny on Sports on a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered.